Derek is going to come and speak after the next song, but first of all, I'll just read the scripture which he is going to preach from. It's a very familiar passage right at the very end of Matthew's Gospel. So Matthew 28, the women have already gone to the tomb, found the stone rolled away, they've been spoken to by the angel, and then met Jesus, and Jesus says to them to go and tell his brethren to meet him in Galilee, where they will see him. So Matthew 28, verse 16, page 1000 in the church Bibles, if you're following there. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be with you. And thank you, Brother Jeff, for the warm welcome. And thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening just to share something more of the ministry of Slavic Gospel Association. Yes, we are homeward bound, hopefully making the journey down through Scotland to Kinraghan across to Belfast on the ferry. But it's been wonderful to be back in Scotland in person. I have the opportunity to share over in the Isle of Lewis and then around Inverness over this past week. And we're grateful for all who support us and remember us in the work of the gospel as we seek to serve the Lord together. It's wonderful, you know, the word of God reminds us, the Lord said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And we rejoice tonight in all that God is doing in his world, in his harvest fields, and the Lord is gathering out his harvest in these days of opportunity. Slavic Gospel Association partners in mission as we seek to reach out across the Slavic nations of the world into Central and Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and also into Far East Russia. We do this through our four core ministries that we've been serving the Lord through for many, many years. That is our teaching ministry, where we're training workers, also publishing literature, the leadership support, and crisis response and distributing aid. And I'll be sharing a little on these four ministries as I go through this presentation this evening. Looking first of all at training workers and our Bible school ministry. Of course, this is a big part of our work, and it's the heartbeat of SGA, because there's a great need for people to be trained to serve God in their nation. And we're very much involved in doing that across different nations of Central Asia. The Lord has been bringing new students to our schools, and we thank the Lord for that. Just back there in November, a new group of students commenced their studies in the south of Poland. At the same time, we welcomed the 15th group of students to the Republic of Moldova. And so we thank the Lord for those who are hearing the call, who are coming to our Bible schools to be trained and to be equipped. But the Lord has been doing something else, and that really came about during lockdown. Because when we couldn't travel and we were grounded and we were at home and couldn't go to these countries and teach in the different schools, the church leaders from the different countries stepped up to the mark and they began to teach their own people. And this is a wonderful development. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 at its very best. Because as you look at this screen tonight, you'll see to your left is Sasha Poloschuk, who actually is a graduate from our school, and now he's teaching others in his own country. And we rejoice in this. And this is the model that we're going to go forward with. It's going to be half teaching from UK teachers, and half of the teaching will come from national church leaders as we serve together and train and teach others in these days of opportunity. God willing, in the autumn, there will be two new schools opened. One will open in Romania, and the other one will open in the north of Serbia amongst the Hungarian-speaking people. So we thank the Lord for our Bible school work, training others, equipping them, preparing them for missionary service, for church planting, for pioneering work. And we thank the Lord for the thousands that have graduated already from our schools over the years. Then I want to bring you now to publishing literature, because this is a very important part of our work. These are former communist countries that we're serving in. Over the years, we've helped to publish good, sound, theological, biblical material in different languages of the countries where we serve. The current literature project is Bibles for the Nations. When we consider Bibles for the Nations, we're considering the Central Asian republics, those countries that border with China, countries like Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan. Those five stans are known as the Central Asian republics. Stan means territory or land of. Kazakhstan is the territory or the land of the Kazakhs. And as a mission with partnering with Bible Mission in Germany, we have been providing God's word for the nations. And it was wonderful just a few weeks ago to receive information of how God has been working as we are seeking to provide Bible sets. Here you can see there is an adult Bible and a children's Bible. We're seeking to reach families with the word of God. We believe by reaching families with God's word, we're reaching nations with the word of God. And so in Central Asia, this is our priority and our focus at this time. Just a few weeks ago, in a country quite a distance from Kazakhstan and Central Asia, these Bibles had been printed and were being uploaded onto a large truck to make a very long journey to Central Asia. We rejoice tonight that these Bibles have all arrived safely. Now they're being distributed secretly to believers who will then distribute them to four families that they've been praying for and that they're seeking to reach: Orthodox people, Muslim people, and other backgrounds seeking to bring God's word to the nations of Central Asia. We thank God for how this has been developing, as we've already produced God's word in the Kazakh, Uzbek, and Tajik languages. Our current Bible project is the Bible in the Russian language. And you might ask the question, well, why in the Russian language? Why not keep producing the Bible in the mother tongue of the people of Central Asia? The challenge is for us is that there are over 35 people groups and different dialects in Central Asia and languages. And so it would almost be an impossible task to have God's word translated and published into all of these languages. But Russian is a common language. It's a little bit like Spanish in South America. Russian language is a common language of Central Asia. And through publishing the Bible in the Russian language, Bible sets, children's Bibles, adult Bibles, we believe that we'll be able to reach the nations much quicker with God's word. Through this Russian Bible project, we believe that we'll be able to reach 15 people groups with the word of God. Just over a week ago, something wonderful was happening again. Here you can see on the screen there are pallets that are carrying Bibles. And here are Russian Bibles that are already printed and are being distributed. And we rejoice in these Bible projects. Bibles for the nations. Please remember Central Asia tonight as we seek to reach these nations with the word of God in this day of opportunity. Coming then to our third project and core ministry, and that is leadership support. Slavic Gospel Association celebrated 70 years of God's faithfulness in 2020. I know we'll remember 2020 for many reasons and for the worldwide pandemic, but let's think of 2020 as SGA's year, when we give thanks for God's faithfulness and God's provision over the past 70 years. To mark this very special milestone, we launched a special project. We believe it was a project that God put on our hearts very clearly, and that was that God would send 70 missionary families and Slavic Gospel Association would be able to support them. We felt this would be a wonderful way to mark 70 years sending 70 missionary families to different countries where we serve. I'm so thrilled, friends, to be here tonight, and so thrilled to be able to tell you this evening that it's not 70 missionary families. God made it 80 missionary families. And almost all of these missionary families are sponsored by believers across the United Kingdom and Ireland and churches as well. This project really developed in three regions. It developed in Far East Russia, that's Siberia and beyond, where we're now supporting 12 missionary families. It really developed in Central Asia, where I've been speaking about the Bibles, where we're now supporting 30 missionary families. And then in one country in Eastern Europe, this project really developed under God's help, and that is Ukraine. And tonight we're supporting 35 missionary families in Ukraine. Together with our Project 70 missionaries, plus the other missionaries that we were supporting previously, Slavic Gospel Association UK are now supporting around 200 missionary families right across different countries where we serve. When we consider Ukraine tonight, we see it as a country with a population of around 44 million, at least before the war began. 73% consider themselves to be Orthodox. But the evangelical church in Ukraine has been an expanding church. After the fall of communism, a wonderful move of God came to Ukraine as it did to many of the former communist countries. The Spirit of God was outpoured and many people were being converted and churches being planted to God's glory. And so with the denomination that we serve with, when they reached the year 2000, they had around 900 churches. But just before the war, that number had increased to almost 3,000 congregations. Not only an expanding church in Ukraine, but a missionary-minded church. They've been sending missionaries all over the world. The Odessa Theological Seminary that's sponsored by SGA has a mission faculty. And in that mission faculty, there's a cross-cultural course where they have been equipping Ukrainians to reach the world with the gospel. But SGA is providing for Project 70 missionaries in the country as we serve together. And here is one of them. His name is Ivan. You can see him there with his parents and also his children and his wife expecting their fifth child. And he is serving God in Mykolaiv, where the Russian military are certainly advancing toward. And so Ivan had to make a decision. God had helped him in planting a church and serving the Lord, one of our Project 70 missionaries. We were rejoicing in all that God was doing, but the day came when he decided to move his wife and children, and the very next day a Russian shell fell in their backyard where their children played every day, all day, and God has preserved this little family. He took his wife and children to Germany, but Ivan returned to Ukraine to serve God. We trust the baby has arrived safely and mother and baby are well. But Ivan loves the Lord and the gospel he believes is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so God has opened up another missionary service for him. And that is Ivan is reaching Ukrainian military every day. He visits 15 checkpoints. He brings the word of God. He brings hot drinks to them. And he points them to Jesus. As these young men are in the front line of the war, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Ivan is faithfully serving God in these days and ministering to them. We also think of Gennady, another Project 70 missionary, who's been serving God in Mariupol, which you've heard of, I'm sure, many times in the news in the southeast of the country. This city has been almost totally destroyed with Russian military shelling. I believe there's still believers in Mariupol at this time. Gennady planted a church just outside the city. But many believers have been able to leave this city. They have gone to other cities in Ukraine and other parts of Europe. But I just want to play a little video clip to you tonight. And here you'll listen carefully. You'll hear believers from the city of Mariupol who have a disruption, devastation, and death. But on Easter Sunday morning, they were singing to the one who has given them a great hope. We read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, by his sin, who was kissed. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
didn't understand a lot of what they were singing, but you heard hallelujah. And they're serving a risen Savior. And the Lord has transformed their lives. And the church in Ukraine is very much alive today. God is building his church in this country. And the believers are reaching out in this day of opportunity. A dear brother from the Donbass region, right over in the eastern part of the country, he sent this information to us. He said, "This is the best Easter of my life. There are so many people coming to church that there's not enough room for them. The churches are being filled to capacity across Ukraine at this time. And the people in the church and the believers are reaching out and God is helping them." How is SGA helping at this time in Ukraine? In four ways: providing for refugees in bordering countries. This is countries like Moldova, Hungary, Romania, Slovakia, and in Poland. And we have all our workers in these countries who are faithfully reaching out to the refugees, distributing aid to displaced people in Ukraine, reaching besieged cities with vital supplies, and Cross Connect Ukraine. This is our linking scheme where we're linking Ukrainian families to families in the United Kingdom who want to host a Ukrainian family for at least 6 months. There is more information on our website about that. But providing for refugees in bordering countries. There are around 12 million displaced people as a result of the war. About 5 million have crossed out of Ukraine. 2.8 million have come into Poland. And yet, my friends, there's not one refugee camp in Poland. All these people have been integrated and welcomed into families, into churches. And one man that's doing a wonderful ministry, one of SGA's church planters, is Daniel with the glasses. The tall man beside him is Igor, who is originally from Ukraine. And Daniel has refugees in his church attic. He has them in the basement of the church and in homes around the church as they're caring for many of these people. As a mission, we're in a position to send out the finance to help men like Daniel who are reaching out at this time. We think of some of the people who have been helped. Here is Tatiana and Nikolai, who are from the Donbass region, the eastern part of Ukraine. The war began early on the 24th of February, early that Thursday morning. On the 25th of February, Tatiana had serious surgery for cancer, but due to attacks on the hospital, she had to leave her bed immediately after surgery. Her husband, Nikolai, had been in the army, had some medical training. He was able to remove her stitches, and they made the journey to Poland. Tonight, she's receiving cancer treatment and being ministered to by Daniel and by his team, and we're so grateful for that. Igor, the Ukrainian, is bulk buying food, and he's loading it into trucks, and that food is crossing the border over into Ukraine, going right across the country to the eastern part, as many of our partners are doing from other countries as well. And we're so grateful for this, and that God has helped us to provide for this great ministry. Here in Ukraine, as you look at this building in the city of Lutsk, it was a printing factory for Bibles and Christian literature. There are two things happening in this building right now. You can see volunteers here who are packing food boxes. In another part of the factory, the printing machines are running off Bibles and gospel literature. And the literature and Bibles are being put into the boxes of food. And then they're being distributed right across the country of Ukraine. We're glad to be able to finance this great program and help in this ministry. As a mission, we have taken on two more projects. One is supporting another 120 missionary pastors in Ukraine. This is a huge project, but we feel it's something that's necessary so that these gospel workers can continue their ministry in the country and minister to those who are in great need. And also in partnership with Bible Mission in Germany, we want to provide another 100,000 Bible sets in the Ukrainian language, because people are reaching out for God's word at this time. People are hungry for the gospel in Ukraine tonight. Our friends on the ground who experienced something of this after the demise of communism, they have told us very clearly that what they're experiencing today is something that exceeds what they have ever seen in Ukraine before. God is working in this nation. You can follow us on our website, or you can pick up the literature tonight, our Ukraine Crisis leaflet, also our Frontlines magazine. Please take a copy with you. These are on the table in the vestibule as you leave. The Phoebe ministry is our ladies' ministry, and then also a prayer booklet where you can pray for SGA, 31 days to pray for SGA. Please take one of these with you as well as you leave this evening. We need your prayers. We need people to pray for Ukraine, to pray for the church there, to pray for the believers. And it's our heart's desire that the country of Ukraine that suffered disruption and destruction and death, that this nation might shine so bright with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this dark continent of Europe might see it and believe it, and that God's name will be glorified in Ukraine. Please remember Ukraine, and please pray for the believers in Russia as well, that God will minister to them and help them through these difficult days. Thank you, dear friends, and we value your prayers as we continue to serve our faithful God. I mentioned the literature that's free. Please do pick it up as you leave this evening. But also, there are a few books that I have and I don't have. I've only got these ones here, but you can put your name down if you'd like them sent up to you. This book here is about SGA's ministry in the Republic of Moldova. It's a wonderful read. The second book is Transformed, 22 Short Testimonies from People in Central Asia. And also Casa Philippe is the story of the House of Philip, Philip Fargar, a young man who died at 36 years of age with cancer. And this house has been opened in his memory to house cancer patients and also their families. And you can get these three books for £5. Not £5 each, £5 for the three. And you can put your name on the list and we'll get them sent up to the church. And then you can pick up your copies. Probably next Sunday, we'll try to have them here for you. And just finally, this book is the story of Peter Deinecker, our founder of the mission, and it's pitched for those aged between 8 and 13 or 14. We feel it's wonderful to get young people reading good missionary books. We need a generation rising up to serve God with a heart for mission. And so this book is available tonight, £3 per copy, or for bulk buying, £5 for £10, or if you buy more than £5, well, there'll still be £2 each, maybe for Sunday school or something like that, or for your Christmas presents, and for your nieces and nephews and grandchildren or whatever. Well, these are available tonight. Also, you can put your name down if you'd like some of the books. But please do take the free literature with you, and please pray for us as we continue to serve the Lord in these days of opportunity. As we come briefly to the verses that were read to us from Matthew chapter 28, I just want us to think together of his last command, our first concern. The founder of Coke wanted the world to know about Coke. He wanted the world to taste Coke. And indeed, it was in 1982 that the slogan was created, Coke is it. He had confidence in this message, and he wanted the world not to only hear about Coke, but he wanted the world to taste his product, and he said, Coke is it. And tonight, dear friends, as we think of the gospel is something for the whole wide world. While the founder of Coke wanted the whole world to taste Coke and hear about Coke, and I think he did a pretty good job in doing that, but the challenge for us tonight as the Church of Jesus Christ is that the world will hear the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. What a glorious message we have, and the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church, the last command, our first concern. Here we find, first of all, the great privilege. We read here in verse 19 of these verses, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore, the great privilege, go. I believe tonight it is a great privilege to go because of the master that we serve. The word of God reminds us in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or hate the other and love the one. We have a choice to make. We cannot serve two masters. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, the word of God reminds us that whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. They're in bondage to sin. They're enslaved in sin. Because we read in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And in John chapter 8 and verse 36, the word of God reminds us that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's a little hymn we used to sing, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past, for I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at last. And my friends, tonight it's a privilege to go because of the master that we serve. We serve King Jesus, the one who has set us free from the power and from the bondage of sin. Not only is it a privilege to go because of the master we serve, but the message that we proclaim. Paul the Apostle, when he spoke about the gospel, he spoke about it as a glorious gospel. And tonight, my friends, the message that the church has, it is a glorious message. The message of the gospel is positive, it's negative, and then it's positive. The gospel message condemns, and then it transforms. Because the gospel tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory in Romans 3:23. The word of God reminds us that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death has passed on all men, for that all have sinned. That's the negative part of the gospel. But my friends, the wonderful thing is tonight, the gospel transforms lives. Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, he could say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My friends, it's wonderful when the Lord transforms our lives. That's what the gospel does. I remember hearing of a lady quite recently. She said that she had professed faith in Christ. And then she went on to say, but I'm really surprised because she said, you know, I just do the things I always did and I don't find any change in my life. I believe tonight, dear friends, when the gospel touches our hearts and we have a real experience with Jesus Christ, then we are transformed. We will never be the same again. We are a new creation. And the word of God reminds us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a privilege to go, friends, because we serve King Jesus. It's a privilege to go because we have the message of the gospel. It's a privilege to go because of the mission that we're engaged in. Tonight, friends, as we sit in this church, and it's wonderful to see so many here on the Lord's Day evening, there are untold millions tonight who are still untold. And we have a wonderful message to bring to the nations. And the work of God is the most wonderful work on earth. It's the most precious work. It's a great work because of its immensity as we think of the world that needs the gospel and needs Jesus. But my friends, it's great because of its importance. Why? Because my friends, this mission that we can be engaged in is for eternity. This is not the temporal things. These are not material things. These are eternal things. And friends, it's a privilege to go because of the mission that we're involved in. Reaching souls for Jesus. Tonight I say to you with all of my heart, there's the privilege we're to go. The great privilege. But secondly, the great program. Here the word of God tells us that we're to go and make disciples. The Greek verb translated go is really, while you are going, make disciples of all nations. No matter where we are, we should be witnessing for Jesus Christ and we should be seeking to win others to the Lord Jesus. Deep in every Christian, there's awareness that we are on this planet for purposes greater than having a career, or paying our bills, or loving our families, and fulfilling our roles as citizens. There is one supreme rule that we can only fulfill while here on earth that will have eternal consequences, and that is his last command being our first concern. And here is God's program. As you go, day by day, wherever you are, as we are going, we are making disciples for Jesus Christ. It was Archbishop William Temple who said in 1945, he said this, "The church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of its non-members." The church exists to reach the non-members of the church. And tonight we have a wonderful message of the gospel to bring, and God's program is to make disciples. Thirdly, we have the great promise. And here the word of God reminds us in the last verse, teaching them to observe all things that I have committed you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, it's not so much that he goes with us, but it's rather we go with him. And as we fulfill the Great Commission, as we get involved in serving the Lord has promised, as you do my will, as you go forth in my great command, I am with you to the very end of the world. And friends, wherever that may take us, wherever the Great Commission may lead us tonight, it may take you far from Scotland. It may take you to one of the countries in the world that really needs missionaries and those to serve him. I don't know where the Lord is going to call you or where the Great Commission will bring you. But friends, we can be certain of this. The Lord will be with us to the very end. I remember hearing of the Perry family missionaries who went out to Congo. They were serving God during that rebellion, the Simba Rebellion in 1964. They were imprisoned for over 3 months, and every day their little daughter Grace kept singing her favorite song. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. The day arrived when the Simbas took the Perry family out to shoot them. And as the family were being marched before the firing squad, little Grace began to sing those words, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." It's not surprising that they called her Grace, the little martyr of Congo, but they knew that God was very near to them. Friends, God will be with us when we go where God wants us to go. The great privilege, the great program, the great promise God has given to us. You will not be alone, my friend, as you serve God, but the Lord, who has all authority and all power, will be with you until the very end. But the great problem, and the great problem is sometimes, friends, that the Great Commission is not our first concern. I trust tonight, dear friends, in this missionary meeting, that we will live for God and serve God and have that desire to go forward for God in these days, and that his last command will be our first concern. I know we live in a world and there's a lot to attract us and drag us and pull us away. There are the temporal things, there are the material things, there are the things around us. But my friends, may we lift our eyes a little further tonight. And may we think of the eternal, that we might lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and cannot steal. Jim Elliot, I'm sure you've read his story. He went to serve the Lord and was killed by the very people he went to reach with the gospel at the age of 28. I have the words of Jim Elliot in my study. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." My friends, when we step out with God, We say all for Jesus. I want to serve you. I want to do your will. I want your last command. I want it to be my first concern. Friends, we can experience God's power and God's blessing as God takes us just as we are, that he might use us for his glory. I have just one life to live on this earth, and I'm reaching a milestone in my life, a big birthday coming. I'm not going to tell you because you wouldn't believe I'm that age, but I know one thing for sure tonight, friends. This one life of mine is passing far too fast. And it's only what I do for God is going to last. I'm going to leave everything else behind. And when I stand before the Lord on that day, I'm sure like you, I trust I'll hear those words. Well done, you good and faithful servant. His last command, our first concern. May the Lord take us from this church with a new heart, with a new desire, that we will touch others for Jesus wherever we go this week. And as we go, we'll be making disciples for Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us, strengthen us, equip us, move us, enable us. And may we glorify our great God in these days. Thank you, dear friends, for the opportunity with you tonight. Mission is our heartbeat. You have a map of the world behind me. This world needs Jesus. May we be available, ready to go, wherever that might be. And friends, I'll say this tonight, that'll be the best place for you to be, for the Lord will be with you to the very end. May God bless you. Maybe you don't know Jesus tonight. You don't know this wonderful master that we're serving. May you come tonight just as you are. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a precious master to serve. May God richly bless you all and bless his word to all of our hearts.